move fast, so we're going to allow them to talk in the public comment period in regards to the one ranch lease. So the mic is open. Please state your name and where you're from, and we go from there.
Chairman Stuker, commissioners, I'm Neil Bernoski from Sheridan, and a member of the Rob Ledford, or the Rob Creek Grazing Association. And I understand you already took action on the grazing lease, but we just wanted to express how important those grazing leases are to us. Our family's been grazing up there since the late 1960s, and I was in high school at that time, and now I've got a lot of gray hair, and so I've seen a lot of changes over time, and we participated with Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in over the years developing a grazing system that I feel like has been very beneficial to both parties. Ledford Creek Grazing Association contributes a 3,600-acre DNRC lease we have, our forest permits, and a BLM permit, and it all works together in a good grazing system. We've used cattle, I feel, to benefit the elk, and from Dean Walty's surveys, it looks like the elk are really using that area for good periods of time during the winter and into the spring. And so I feel like that's been beneficial to both parties. I feel like, just from my observation, that the plant communities are in a good, healthy condition, both the uplands and the riparian areas, and I think they're continuing to get better. On our home place, we provide habitat for just about all the species that there are. We participate in the block management plan, and each year we provide approximately around 500 hunter days to the public. Starts in bow season and ends clear into January with the end of the bird seasons, and so we have hunters on our place for a good part of the year. We also work with FWP with fishing access on the Ruby River, and Trout Unlimited works in that too at the present, and seems like a very popular fishing access site, a lot of access there. And so we just wanted to express just the importance of this lease to us in our operation and managing the habitat in a landscape rather than these individual parcels of public land, private land, and how we can work together well. And I feel like the we and the Fish, Wildlife, and Parks have become pretty good partners in providing habitat for wildlife and fish and livestock. And so I just want to express our appreciation for approving the lease for the Rob Ledford Game Range. And thank you.
Thank you. Further comment here.
Chairman Stuker, Director Williams, members of the commission. My name is Les Gilman. I'm from the Ruby Valley. I'm a member of the Ledford Creek Grazing Association that grazes livestock on the Rob Ledford Wildlife Management Area. We underestimated your efficiency. And so we're glad we weren't here necessarily to sit through the whole thing this day, but we intended to be here for that presentation. And I would be in agreement with Neil that we thank you for your consideration of these grazing opportunities on these wildlife management areas. We've been on our place there in the Ruby Valley for 139 years. In 139 years, as far as I know, we have never denied fishing or hunting access to our property, where we house elk, antelope, mule deer, white-tailed deer, black bear, pheasants, ducks, geese, long-billed curlews, and as of a month ago, a big black wolf ran through the ranch. So we have a diverse landscape. And we've worked in relationship with FWP and other public land agencies as well over this long period there. I'm fifth generation. My son is six and his children are seven generations on that landscape, and we intend to continue. Just 2 years ago, we put a conservation easement on that property to make sure that it stays intact, providing this wildlife habitat opportunity that runs in concert with our agricultural operations. And I really appreciate FWP's recognition of that, how important it is, as Neil had indicated, that the agency and the landowners work together to provide landscape management of the resource. Thank you.
Thank you. Further public comment?
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Matt Gravely, G-R-A-V-E-L-E-Y. I'm a rancher from Avon and a member of the Rocky Mountain Stock Growers Association. I am here in that regard to address you. And in regards to the spotted dog proposal, and first of all, I want to apologize for not being here at the, give comment at the appropriate time. My morning didn't really go as planned, so I got here as quick as I could. But I want to thank the commission for supporting this proposal. I think that a lot of your comments, what I was able to hear, were right on the money. And you're absolutely right that, continued observation and monitoring and science-based decisions need to be made in these regards. And that's what we're after, and that's what Mr. McQuarrie is after. What's occurred here is, that a lot of those elk, we've got a great big huge property that's a wonderful piece of ground that unfortunately the elk aren't staying on it. Instead, they're using Mr. McQuarrie's property. And we're, and so it's just an even trade. It's to allow him some grazing opportunity to make up for what the wildlife are doing to him in what's happened under FWP's management in that area. For my money, Mr. Thompson expressed regret that he didn't do things maybe a little differently. And I don't think he has any excuses to make in this regard. I think he got it exactly right when he took the action that he did to move forward as timely as possible. Mr. McQuarrie and McQuarrie Ranch have got obligations that they have to meet for themselves and their businesses. And if you want to really gum up the works, let's try to negotiate a lease or a proposal by committee. It's just not a feasible, reasonable deal in this regard, or in this instance, excuse me. And also, I know that a lot of the comments that were made that could be construed as oppositional or against this grazing proposal, they brought up a lot of good points. We're concerned about the riparian zones. Who's going to fence it? Who's going to how the cattle getting on and off the pasture, and invasive weeds, and there were some really good comments brought up there. But I think if they would have read the proposal in depth and in detail and really taken it for and read it in what it said, what Mr. McQuarrie proposed, I think those concerns were addressed right off the front. So this wasn't a situation with the Fish and Game is the agency that's deemed with the responsibility of managing the wildlife and the habitat. And that's exactly what's occurring in this instance. And, I think the department has nothing to apologize for in this instance. And again, offer our sincere thank you for your consideration and what we definitely take as being, support of our industry and our livelihood and our neighbors, your neighbors. And Director Williams did mention too, that we've got some wounds and stuff, and that's absolutely true. And mentioned that, maybe they're healed. Well, I wouldn't go so far as they're healed, but this will definitely go a long ways to showing that the department does want to be good neighbors and wants to work with the landowners. And if a proposal like this, which I think that we deem as being very reasonable, very well thought out, well considered, is shot down by this commission, you know, that's going to tear the scab off of a wound that has begun to heal and done and begun to become better. So, again, I want to thank the commission and the director and Mr. McQuarrie and Mr. Thompson for all the work that they did do on this and for the support that you're showing us. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, Director Williams. My name is Rick Schoening, spelled S-C-H-O-E-N-I-N-G. I'm a retired Montana game warden. I spent 28 years enforcing the laws and regulations that this commission has put forth. And I sent, I thought all of you, a letter expressing my concerns about what I'm going to talk about today. Commissioner Bjorth? Bjorth, sorry. He didn't get it. I'll get you a copy. What I'm here to talk about today is myself, along with many others, we wish to propose a hunting regulation change. We are asking the commission to add all non-tribally owned lands within the exterior boundaries of the Flathead Indian Reservation to an existing hunting district to allow big game hunting. In Region 1, Hunting District 120 would be appropriate. The regulation currently published, right here, it just came out, prohibits big game hunting on reservations by a simple omission of not being part of a hunting district. You look on page 29, it talks about general information and hunter land access. Reservation lands. All it says is please contact the appropriate tribal government for information. All right? So, there's no hunting district. So legally, a non-tribal member cannot hunt there. And there are numerous tribes in this state that are selling tags, antelope tags, mule deer tags, moose tags, the Blackfeet, and to non-tribal members. And I'm a sworn law enforcement officer. I cannot violate the law. So as the regulations currently sit, I cannot go and buy a tag, say a mule deer tag from Fort Belknap, and kill a deer there and come back to Polson. That's where I live, Polson, Montana. And anyway, there's a regulation snafu here. It needs to be fixed. You know, and I kind of jumped ahead. I'm a little passionate about this. A little excited. Forgive me here. I started as a Montana game warden in Missoula in 1979. Made my way to Sydney, did 6 years in Sydney and Richland County, and then ended up in Polson in 1986 and finished there 21 years as a warden. I moved to Polson before there was a bird hunting and fishing agreement. I went through that whole process with Governor Stevens and future Governor Roscoe. So I understand the way things are done on the Flathead Indian Reservation. My property and that of almost 600,000 other acreage that belongs to people other than the tribe, I got stammered here, I apologize. They do not consider that reservation land, okay? We live within an exterior boundaries. That's it. And tribally owned land, in tribal trust land, there's no question that Indian tribe, this tribe in particular, has jurisdiction through federal law to handle that. But my land, that of my neighbor's land, and my son's here, is not under the jurisdiction of the tribes. They're under the jurisdiction for hunting purposes of this commission. And so, just an example, like, you know, there's over 3,000 first-line descendants of that tribe that are not allowed to hunt anywhere on their ancestral lands because of a state regulation. And that needs to be fixed. Our trapping regulations that Montana put out are very well written. They include the whole state into districts, region 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way. There's no separation of Indian reservations. And all it says is there's a closure. And it says on the closures that um, Trapping on tribal-owned land and tribal trust land is prohibited. All right? That's good language. If we wanted to do that with the big game hunting regulations, it would be written just like that. Because the tribe is a huge landowner. If they want to prohibit hunting by non-members of that tribe, so be it. They can do that. Just like Ted Turner can stop his land from anybody from hunting. It's not a big deal. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has always been worried about litigation whenever dealing with tribes, especially that tribe. I was involved in that first litigation. I was subpoenaed to federal court in 1989. So I understand that. This tribe that we have the agreement with, their treaty language is very clear on fishing, exclusive fishing rights to the streams, to the reservation. Hunting is a privilege, plain and simple. It says that in the treaty. And I'll hand some of these out if you give me time. But everybody thinks, oh, they have exclusive hunting rights. Lawsuits. We ended up with an agreement because either party wanted to go and listen to the judge make his final decision. All right? So we've allowed trapping for many, many years there. And the tribe has always prohibited it. And their current regulations, it'll tell you flat out that the entire reservation is closed to hunting or taking or attempting to hunt or take any fur bearers or any other species of fish other than gray partridge, pheasants, ducks, geese, mergansers, and coots. All right, because those are part of the bird hunting and fishing agreement. All right, so it's a direct no-can trap, right? Well, our trapping regulations have always said, yes, you can. And yet, as a landowner, you can shoot coyotes on your property. Tribe says no. And they have yet to sue us on that or even threaten litigation. And I used to always try to bring this up during the board meetings of the Bird Hunting and Fishing Agreement, and I was always told, no, don't bring that up, Shaney. Don't. No, no. This is not appropriate. And so as a department, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, I didn't want to get disciplined, so I kind of did what I was told. And but I don't work for the department anymore, but the department is always my department. I'm still the game warden in that town. People call and ask me questions, and they always want to know, why in the hell can't I take care of these elk that have been eating up all my winter range, you know, my winter feed, grass. You know, and that's another issue, game damage. I had a landowner. He's the largest landowner in the county, Rick Van Vost. He would have been here, but he got into the field a couple of days ago, and he says, I ain't getting out until it's all planted. And he said, but I trust you, Shaney. But his game damage situation is very severe. When I was there, I was able to get my hands on a handful of tribal members that would help him out. And since I left in 07, all he gets from Fish, Wildlife, and Parks when he complains is, you need to talk to the tribe. And so I don't believe it's the intention of the commission to discriminate against citizens due to their political association. Most of us are not members of a federally recognized tribe. Race isn't the issue here. The courts have ruled that political affiliation is what separates tribal members and non-members. If you don't live within the boundaries of an Indian reservation, it's very hard to understand the issues that we are facing. Residents often feel forgotten and neglected by the state government. You know, and Fish, Wildlife, and Parks is a big game management policy. It manages wildlife, considering landowner tolerances, like we've been talking about, and the health of the specific herds. Nothing addresses political entities such as Indian nations. It seems that FWP might be violating their policy on this. I can go on and on and on. But this is time to be addressed, this situation. The regulation, as an enforcement officer, the only thing maybe I could write a guy for is hunting in the closed season because it's not a hunting district. But my my present county attorney said that wouldn't happen in Lake County. He says because the regulations are too vague and hasn't been addressed. So anyway, I moved it to commission. What I want this commission to do, and my wishes are, this is a question that has not been answered, and it needs to be. I wish that the commission would consider putting this out as a regulation change for public comment and just see what kind of comments you will receive. And I've spoken with Councillor Dockster several times. She's been very helpful. And as far as litigation goes, she feels there probably won't be any litigation just by putting it out for public comment. Now, if I spoke for you, kick me in the butt. I'm sorry. But anyway, thank you very, very much for your time. And I got plenty of answers for your questions if there's time. Okay. Whew. I need a beer.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for your comments this time. And if unless the commission has any questions. They do not, so.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Think about it, please.
Further public comment here in Helena.
I'm Brian McCullough, 2217 9th Avenue here in Helena. I also refer myself as the meat hunter. And I am wanting to follow up on the decisions you're going to be start making this summer relative to the last 3 years of the elk shoulder season. I'd want to identify that from my perspective and what I've seen is FWP was inundated with the public interest in the elk shoulder season, and it turned out to be much stronger than what a lot of people came up here and testified before you. And as a new commission, I think you should bring that to your forefront relative to making decisions on the elk shoulder season, that landowners and hunters are learning how to participate and manage this season. It is a new experience for landowners and hunters as well. I have personally talked to hunters, and they're learning about this, and to when they, along with the other 80% that are unsuccessful during the general season, this is an opportunity to harvest a cow elk, and many hunters are looking forward to that, and they're starting to include that in their plans. This is a work in progress, and based on the growth in the elk population, it is not the solution. It shouldn't be thought of as the solution, just like all the other tools that previous commissions have put into place. It is another tool to be used to help in that process. And I submit that for this next round, that you strongly consider adjusting the performance measures associated with the elk shoulder hunt, keeping in mind that this is the first time in history that performance measures, measuring the with a idea of trying to measure the amount of harvest, and with no historical experience trying to say whether it's to be considered successful or not. The issues of what is success, I think, is something to be looked at. And in future open mic comments, I'll spend some time addressing that as well. But I want to spread out the fun with this. Anyway, and then in the future, I think it should be excluded from the plans any threats or issues that are brought up and included in any regulations. That should be excluded from, it should not be in there like it has in the past, which is threatening landowners with converting their area to antlerless only hunting if the season is limited, if access is limited during the 5 week season. The purpose of this hunt is to call elk, and that the way you call elk is you harvest the cows, and the way you harvest the cows is when their herds are down in either before the rifle season starts because they're coming down eating that tasty alfalfa, or after the season's over when the snows push them down and you harvest the cows. And like I said, there's many public hunters that we have learned are now, in fact, in favor of that. And last but not least, I think it'd be good for you to review the comments of Governor Bullock relative to when he vetoed the bill, Senate Bill 245, that was going to mandate that the FWP have a late hunt. In his comments, in his directive to the Fish and Game Commission at that time, he was directing the Fish and Game to keep in mind landowner property rights and to respect decisions that landowners made. So in that regard, I do have a little bit of a document to pass out for your reading pleasure that I'll hand out, and it includes those documents of both Governor Bullock's veto and his comments on that point to respecting landowners' rights, and secondly, the current version of the final elk shoulder season guidelines, which at the beginning says they're supposed to respect landowners' rights, but in the body of it, it does not. And so I hope that this future new commission will make those adjustments, and I think it's a huge win towards improving hunter opportunity, number one, and number two, not number two, equally, landowner, fishing game and hunter relations. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Further comments here? Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Stuker and the commission. I'm Rick Shanning's son, Brennan Shanning. I'm from Dayton, Montana. And I just kind of wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about a little bit simpler version of mine of hunting on my own ranch, which I can't do. It down where I live, within the reservation there, Flathead Indian Reservation, I almost feel like I'm in a different country. And I know I'm not because I pay taxes. I'm a Montanan, and I own a business there, and I also am a small rancher. I would love nothing more than my family and friends, and most people in this room have black management. We can't even do that. It just doesn't feel right. I talk to a lot of folks, a lot of people that move in the area, and they don't understand it, and I guess I don't either, even though I've lived there most of my whole life. I would really hope you guys would look at this seriously. It's time for change. And I would love to see this go to public comment, and this affects tens of thousands of people down there. Thank you.
Thank you. Further public comment. Mr. Jivak, are you heading this way?
Chairman and commissioners, I'm Nick Jivak again with the Montana Wildlife Federation. Since we only meet every other month now, it seems like things stack up sometimes. But I do want to give this commission just a very brief overview of the legislature and the budget that this commission will have to deal with in the next couple of years, because it's a very good one and it's very strong. FWP's budget, we think, is in some of the best shape it's been in close to 15 years coming out of this session. You're getting two new grizzly bear management one's working, but they're now permanent in the base budget, and they're badly needed. And in fact, I know Mr. Gilman and Mr. Barnosky have had a lot of grizzly bears moving north into the gravelly range. One of those people, I'm understanding, will be based in Butte, which I think is excellent because that's where bears are moving into. The other's the one in Red Lodge. We have significant disagreements with Mr. McCullough about shoulder seasons and their purpose, but one of the good things to come out of this is an elk planner position, and I think this commission is aware that we'll be having a healthy discussion about elk management in the next year and a half and what the true purpose of shoulder seasons are, and that will be a big discussion. The game warden funding issue that we heard a lot about has now been reduced from 30% to 15 to 17%, and that is aggregate across the department, so that's very helpful. And we heard a lot from landowners who didn't like that change and how it affected patrols on their land. The agency will be getting the equipment it needs, ATVs, boats, capital upgrades to headquarters and hatcheries. That's a great thing. The ALS system in House Bill 10 is coming through, and that's a big public investment in that. But we talked a lot before the session about including the ability to have mandatory reporting, and a really, if we're going to do it right so it has all of those elements. This wasn't in the agency's budget, but the livestock loss program out of general fund was increased from $200,000 a year to $300,000 a year. And you know how much I talk, Rich, about our proactive measures to prevent conflicts with grizzly bears. And that is a big win. And that will provide funding that we know nonprofit conservation organizations can put up matching funds for. And we're going to continue working on that. Habitat Montana is intact. The Public Access to Land Network bill passed. That was a big cooperative effort between a bunch of groups. There were a bunch of licensing cleanup bills. Wolf licenses will be coming down in price, both for residents and non-residents. We're hoping that will put more wolf hunters in the field. And then we had a big discussion this session about wildlife data, and we hope this bill is still heading to the governor, as are a lot of these. But Senate Bill 349 would make it illegal to use wildlife agency data to hunt or harass wildlife. That's a big change. It doesn't give the agency the ability to deny giving people that information, because we have such strong public interest laws in this state. But we are going to have an interim study of that, and that's a growing issue throughout the country. So we know that obviously the agency needs to conduct that research for all kinds of reasons, but other states have given their agencies the ability to deny that. So one bill that several bills went down that we wanted to see pass, but one of them also would have barred the sale of wildlife location data, and we're hoping we can look at whether it'd be legal to do that through rule or something. So anyway, overall, I mean, there's still a lot of things moving up there. Well, not much moving in an hour or so. They're heading to the governor's desk, but it was a very productive session, and we think the agency's well positioned for the next 2 years. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Is there any further public comment here in Helena? Further public comment? Is there any comment in any of the regions? I don't think there's anyone there. So I would like to thank everyone that came today for, if it was a specific topic or to comment in the public comment section. And thank you for your participation, and have a safe trip to wherever you're heading. At this time, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion.